Oh, thank the Lord this afternoon. His blessings to us is our interest in your prayers. We'll just pick up where we left off this morning. I guess some of you were courageous for staying for the second part of this message. And I'll just say again that I'm preaching to myself and like just a time of examination for our habits, good or bad. Something the Lord is interested in. We are multifaceted creatures. And the things in one part of our life, habits we have in one area of our life, Brother Tony has mentioned this between services as well, it has a way of carrying over into other parts of our life. And if we get slothful in one part of life, we could say, well, that doesn't have anything to do with my spiritual life. If we stop and take note of our life, we will actually start to see some common habits and patterns. And the Lord wants us to be a responsible people. He wants us to be a godly people. And so then again, want to consider our habits. I want to pick up where we left off this morning. We're reading in the book of 1 Thessalonians in the 5th chapter. Now we were reading, it said rejoice evermore. We talked about that, the habit of rejoicing, habit of giving praise. One of the best ways, if in some of the things that have been touched on this morning and will be this afternoon, if we see we have a habit that's not good, and again, I believe we all have some unhealthy habits. We have good habits and we have bad habits. So God wants to deliver us from sinful habits. There's an instantaneous work that He will deliver us. Again, spirit of lying, an adulterous spirit of dishonesty, a spirit, those things, there's deliverance from those. There are other habits that it is a journey. And it is a something that we picked up patterns and habits of behavior or of talking or of conduct in our worship service. The Lord wants us to be cognizant of those and then begin working and asking for His grace to help us that we would be a better reflection and a light. And that covers every area of our life, from our worship to how we dress, to how we do our business, to our finances, that we consider our habits. Well, one of the best ways when we recognize that we have some unhealthy habits, the best way to overcome an unhealthy habit is not just saying, I'm going to work on not doing that. Okay? So whatever your bad habit is, or if you have one, maybe no one else here has any besides me. But if there are some unhealthy habits, the best thing to do, number one, is identify it. Recognize why it's unhealthy. And secondly, don't just try to stop having an unhealthy habit, but fill it with the positive habit. See, it's the best solution to breaking a bad habit. We talked about prayer this morning. We talked about reading and praying and things like that. The best way to overcome a bad habit is with a good one. And I want to say about worship, I remember I told you this morning that a lot of people struggle with that, young and old alike. One of the best ways and best advice I believe I could give this afternoon on how to begin to break a bad habit of not taking the proper time is to get a plan. Because if you sit in the morning, and this is the reason, you say, okay, I need to have devotions, and you take your Bible and kind of flip through it. Now, we've all been there, right? I have. So, but I'm just talking where we live now. So you take your Bible and you just kind of open it up. Okay, Lord, will you give me something? And okay, there's something underlined. I'll read that. And then you pray. It makes it difficult to just do that all the time, okay? There are times we open our Bible and say, Lord, I need you to give me something. But I will say, if you have a bad habit of having difficulty taking that time or really just kind of not taking the time you should with it, it's because we don't have a plan. So then get a plan. I believe that devotionals sometimes are a crutch. I do not believe devotional books take the place of the Word of God. But at the same time, I've advised many people that say I'm struggling with finding the time or with my reading and prayer life is get a devotional then. It's not long, but something that you have a plan. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to read this scripture And then there's some commentary on it and something to kind of, and then spend some time meditating on it. But the plan will help you become, develop some good habits. And don't use devotionals as a substitute for the Word of God itself, but yet those devotionals have the Word of God in it, don't they? And there's two or three. Be careful of what you use. Be careful of the books that you get. But there are two or three, at least I know, some good devotional books that are out there, and it will help you break bad habits. Because now I'm not just trying to do better or not do something bad. I've got a plan, and my good habit is I'm going to read this every day. The other thing is about reading the Word of God is have a plan with what you're going to read. Taking the Bible, say, okay, this month or this week, I'm going to read through the book of Matthew, or I'm going to study and I'm going to read the book of Deuteronomy, or I'm going to read through the Psalms this month is going to be my focus. And when you have a focus, when you take your Bible off the shelf, you have a purpose. You know where you're headed. You know what you're doing. And it will really help begin to break some of the struggles that people have with reading their Bible because we have a plan. Now, I trust that that's clear. The Scripture talks here then, let's move on. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Now, I want to revisit, that there are habits that we develop of our perspective of things. And if we will begin to not just say, okay, I'm always negative on this, how do we begin to break a habit of negativity? Focus on forming a habit of thanksgiving. Now, what's the story we listen to? Huh? Pollyanna. I don't know if you children, young people have listened to that story. On our trip, we were listening to, and she played, what game was it? Help me out. It was the glad game. Y'all remember that story? She played the glad game. And the children kind of started doing that. And I know they were being a little facetious, but it was actually nice. I guess I'll play the glad game. In other words, what she did was when there were negative things happening, she would play a game of trying to find something to be glad about in that situation. So then it's more than I'm just too negative and I'll try not to say negative things. No! Start to develop a habit of in those situations where maybe we tend to be negative, let's turn around and play the glad game. You understand? In other words, in my spirit, I want to find something to give thanks about. And do you know, it will begin to work. And I'm not talking about mind over matter here. I'm not playing mind games. The world has done that with its psychology. But the Lord knew we needed this, and that's why He said, in everything, give thanks. And that's why He said when you have a request, do it with thanksgiving. Why? That our minds could start being transformed, that we could start having more of a positive outlook. They say that flattery, I am someone that does not like flattery. To me, flattery, now if someone has a sincere compliment, I can use them, all right? Y'all, I can use them, it's okay. Don't think we'll get the big head, I can use them. Ministers can use them. I don't know how many times I've heard someone come, well, don't wait to get the big head, but it's like, if you only knew. You all know what I'm talking about. It's all right to give sincere compliments. But flattery, on the other hand, is something that's syrupy and you question the motivation, and I can do without that. But I read one time and heard that with the psychology and everything, they said with flattery, if you give someone a compliment long enough, even if they know you don't believe it. In other words, if someone gives you flattery and you know they don't mean it, it still makes you feel good. You know, long term, it still makes people feel good. If you came up and said, oh, you are just so beautiful, and you tell them that long enough, they know you're not sincere, but it still makes them feel good. I'm not saying do things insincerely, but my point is the way our perspectives in the way that we talk and communicate in our outlook in life does have something to do with the way we talk. So I'm not talking a game, but I'm saying sincerely saying, okay, I've been too negative. Or maybe the next step is, and we're going to get there in the Scripture here, I've been too critical. So how do I counteract that habit? Folks, it can be easy to get in the habit of being critical. And we don't even think about it. See, I was critical so often that that's just kind of the way it is and tend to be kind of critical. And then we start saying that's just the way we are, and then we don't even think about it, and everybody else says, that's sure critical. And we do damage to ourselves. So what's the solution to break that bad habit? fill it with something positive. Start looking for something that you can compliment. Well, let's move on. He said, quench not the spirit. Now, we talked about worship this morning as well. But folks, we can have bad habits of quenching the spirit. Whether it's on your daily lives or in service, when the Spirit of the Lord comes and moves in your heart, listen to Him. Let's not drown Him out. Let's be faithful and not quench Him. So, because we can get in the habit of it. We can get in the habit of just, well, we feel that little stirring and we just let it sit. But rather than responding in obedience. So how do we break that? As Lord, when You talk to me today, I'm going to respond. When You move me today, Lord, I don't want to quench You, but Lord, I'm going to listen and be faithful and obedient. And do you know we can develop a good habit of letting the Spirit move in us? We believe in Holy Spirit leadership. The Bible teaches it. It is one of the identities of this fellowship, this Church of God fellowship. It is one of the identities that many, many so-called Church of God groups do not practice, Holy Spirit leadership. But folks, if we don't have the leadership of the Holy Spirit, it can get kind of rough sometimes. You know, it can get a little rough sometimes because we don't have the entertainment to fill in the gaps. So what's needed then is for us to have a habit of listening to the Spirit. You feel that stirring inside to pray, then pray. You have an exhortation, then give an exhortation. But be sure it's led by the Spirit. And as we are entering into camp meeting, I'll say again, as I probably do every year, if you don't do it in your home congregation, don't go to Monarch and do it. If you don't pray at home, don't pray at Monarch. If you don't sing at home, don't sing at Monarch. If you don't exhort after the message at home, don't exhort after a message at Monarch. Understand? This is the place to start. But there's nothing more inspiring than when someone is moved by the Spirit and it's anointed, and it's not just the preachers. I know sometimes y'all probably get tired of listening to preachers. Don't quench the Spirit then, but be sure it's in the Spirit. Amen? And I said this morning, I didn't expect a lot of amens in this message, but we're not finished yet. Quench not the Spirit. Well, he went on to say, despise not prophesying. Despise not. Do you know that can be a habit? And I think it's interesting how we approach prophesying. In other words, despise not the preaching of the Word of God. And this can take on a lot of different areas and in a lot of different things, but don't look down on the preaching of the Word of God. We are living in a time where people don't want anyone to tell them what to do. And we live in a time people don't want to take godly admonition. People don't want to take godly counsel. And he said, don't despise prophesying. If it's truth, accept it. But we can begin to develop a habit of when we hear the Word of God preached, we receive it based upon who is doing the preaching. And so we can go somewhere and say, oh, that was a wonderful message. And someone else just in their kind of, Well, why the difference? Was it the Spirit of God there? Was it truth? Was it anointed? Or did it maybe have that I got in a habit of despising the ministry or despising the messenger or despising, and we can hinder the workings of God. Had a discussion this just recently. My wife and I did with a couple, and there was a habit of suspicion. There was a habit of suspicion that they had if they didn't really know someone just real well. There was a habit of just looking at them with suspicion. Same way with the ministry. Folks, there are different ministries that God has given different people. And some ministers have their ministry is one of judgment more. If it's judgment and it's truth, then Lord help us to open up our hearts and not have a habit that, well, when brother so-and-so get it, you know what you're going to hear. Yeah, we're going to get it. It's okay. We need it. Well, they sure needed it. You understand? I mean, we needed it. But we can have a spirit of what does it say here? Despise. Despise not the ministering. Despise not the prophesying, the preaching of the Word. And then someone else gets up and maybe they have more of a ministry of love. And someone sits in there, yes, but there's judgment involved. That wasn't the message. The message was about love. Someone gets up and preach a judgmental message. Yes, but we need to have love too. And all of a sudden, we're always looking at what they didn't cover. You know how long we would be here if we cover the whole thing on both sides every single service? Y'all wouldn't be getting out by noon, I assure you. And so, which means when we go to camp meeting, we don't want to despise, whether it's at home or camp meeting, let's not despise prophesying. But understand, it's the working together of the ministry, of the ones the Lord uses, but we have to be careful not to get that critical spirit. And I found that when we come into service with a critical spirit, the devil will satisfy us every single time. And we can go away from someone else saying, oh, wonderful message. And I know that I have poor pastors, and I know how this is on both sides of it. You can go in somewhere and preach something, and people seem to, oh, that was just wonderful. And the pastor's sitting there thinking, I've been preaching that over and over and over. I'm glad they got it with the new minister that came through. And I know, and like I said, I've been on both sides of that, so understand. But there's a place that we want to be open. We want to be open and allow the Lord to bless us where we are, whether camp meeting or at home, and begin to look at what kind of habits do I have. When I come to service, what kind of habits am I? Am I looking to worship? Am I coming with that suspicion, with that air of criticism? You understand? So, Lord, help us. Despise not prophesying. And then he said, prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Do you know that that is a habit? To prove all things. In other words, this is not talking about being suspicious, but that is about, again, using the Word of God. Everything that's preached and taught, what we teach in our homes, what we teach our children, that we're proving, that we're using the Word of God to line things up. That should be our habit. I remember, and I was telling someone recently, many years ago, someone in young people's meeting, it was a minister. Ministers are human. I know y'all know that, but they are. And I told y'all this morning, I think it wasn't in the message, wasn't it, that we could go through all of the reformers and those that we say were spiritual, and you research it and know people that knew them, and we could start just being very critical of things that they did and things that they said, and we can tear anybody apart. But it's, again, what kind of habits do we have? And so then there was a minister in young people's meeting at Monarch that got a little bit off. And he was kind of coming down on something that we tend to hold as a standard, but he was making it like almost as if it was wrong or sin if you did this one thing. And he went too far. Another minister got up in the pulpit that night before the message and said, I don't know why the Lord gave me a burden to share this scripture, and talked about the Word of God, and everything we need to teach needs to be from the Word of God. And those that were in that young people's meeting were like, wow, who talked to him? Nobody had talked to him. But the Lord knew what he needed. That should be our life. The Word of God, the habit of our life should be the Word of God is our foundation. Not with suspicion, but with an openness, and yes, with a love. He went on to say then, abstain from all appearance of evil. Talking about habits. The things that we allow in our life, what kind of testimony is it giving? And again, do you know this applies to every area of our life? From the physical things to the spiritual things. I remember, and some of you all may know, I still see him in the store. Now, is it all right if I chew tobacco? I'm going to get on some of these fleshly things maybe in a little bit. But do you know that chewing tobacco has nicotine in it? And you know that nicotine gives you a buzz. It's not a clean habit. There is scriptural principle to teach us against chewing tobacco, smoking cigarettes, and those things like that. They're addictive. They cause much health problems. And it's not right for a child of God to do those things. Amen? All right. So I remember as a child, they sell little round cans of beef jerky. You know I learned how to do this? You know, I did a confession. All right, I'll just tell you. Because I had a couple of them cans. And you know how it feels? It's like, there's nothing wrong with just beef jerky. But you kind of put that in your lip and, you know, just kind of watch who sees you. But at the same time, you know, you're feeling a little bit... Do you realize the scripture says abstain from all appearance of evil? And they even sell the bubble gum chew, don't they? I mean, I've seen that in the stores. They have the bubble gum chew, you know, the packs, the pouches, I guess it is. I never did that, but Do you realize that these kinds of things are just practical things? Maybe it's not sin in and of itself what I'm doing. Maybe it's not wrong, but what appearance? I felt kind of a little bad the other night. Zachary has his tricks that he does and juggling and all this. So he wanted a lighter. And here I'm in Walmart buying a cigarette lighter, and I'm standing in the cigarette line feeling a little out of place. And so then I got in a discussion with some of the people around me. And I came up to check out, and I was like, now what exactly do I need here? I needed the fuel for the lighter that he had and whatever it was to do some of these tricks. And I said, I don't know what this is for. I said, and I explained why I needed it, because I wanted to go on record. I wouldn't buy this. Because she's like, oh yeah, I've got one of those kind of lighters too. It's like, join in the group. It's like, wait a minute. Hold on. This is for my son who's doing tricks. You know, I'm not getting into this camaraderie on what kind of cigarette lighters we have. And it made me feel, but I thought, you know, the appearance of evil. It's kind of like sometimes there's, you know, you can cook with, there are things you can cook with wines and things that burns the alcohol out of, understand. But you know what I would feel like if my wife called me and said, oh, the recipe calls for some red wine. I put that in my cart, pushing it through. You know, I don't think I'd feel real comfortable with that. You say, oh, what's Brother Michael doing? So there are things in life that maybe, and these are individual situations, but let the Lord show us. If there's something we're doing, maybe it's not sin, and maybe we can make a case, but let's be careful in our lives to abstain from all appearance of evil. Messages like this may need to be short. They get a little heavy. Let's move on. All right? And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That is the end. That's what the Lord's wanting, is to sanctify, to make holy, that we would be a people that would be a light and an example, being blameless. In verse 23, he said, continue, I pray God that your whole spirit, now folks, we're talking about habits, that your spirit and soul and body would be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. So if there's those areas in life that maybe I haven't been as careful, I haven't been as I should have been, then Lord, would you help me? Would you help me that I can sanctify this bad habit and fill it with a good one? I want to be sanctified. I want this. And folks, we all have areas the Lord's wanting to work on. And I just want to reiterate, this message is to me tonight, this morning. Told y'all don't walk away offended, because I'm not done yet. The Lord gave me this to share with you all. But this is for all of us. It's for me, because there's things in life that, what kind of habits? We talked about our speech. We talked about behaviors. We talked about things. Now we're going to come to another area. 1 Corinthians in the 6th chapter in the 12th verse. Paul said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Folks, we live in a world that has lots of addictions. There's a lot of addictions in our world, and the Lord wants us to be very careful about the things that we are addicted to. It's not only talking about, and I'm going to touch on it, but it goes beyond just drugs and alcohol. But I want to say that there is scripture to back up. There's scripture to back up that those things that alter the mind, those things that are addicting to the mind, they affect outlook. They affect judgment. They affect behaviors. Those things are not for the saint of God to give themselves to. Children and young people, don't take the first drink. Don't take the first puff. Don't give, because you do it one time and it breaks down that resistance. You say, oh, am I really unsaved now? Because I just, well, are you or not? Well, what doors are we opening up? And it can begin to form habits that are unlike the Lord. It affects me spiritually. We are to be holy and blameless in spirit and in our bodies. Amen? This is our body. This is God's. And if I'm taking something that alters my state of mind, I'm going to get in trouble with God. Habits, our addictions are habits, until we're not even thinking about it. And I'll tell you, most people that get addicted to these kinds of things, many times they begin to try to turn and try to justify those very habits. And they will try to incorporate those into their walk with God and into their Christianity to say, well, that's not porn. Well, they have a bad spirit, so what's wrong with you? You're telling me I shouldn't, you know, drink or smoke or all those things. Be very careful because, folks, there is a wall and a barrier that we should maintain that we need to be very careful of that the enemy doesn't take advantage of us. All things are lawful. So, mind-altering products. The scripture says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, don't allow something that alters the mind. Something that alters the mind, we need to abstain from those things. One of the most popular drugs in America, does someone know what it is? Well, there's another one that's even more popular than marijuana. And it speaks of our country, of where we are. With the legislation or what the Supreme Court did this week, it speaks of the depravity of where our country is. It was a landmark decision. It sure was. And it speaks when our president and our political leaders exalt that and exalt marijuana as a no-harm thing and say there's less harm in that than there is alcohol. Folks, we can take you and show you places. It's a gateway drug. It affects the mind. It alters performance. It'll affect your marriage. It'll affect your family relationships. Don't let the politically correct agenda that's out there take away from the damage that those kinds of things do. They're addictive. They're habit forming. Say, well, it's not as addictive as these other things. We need to stay away from all of it. The number one, I believe it's the number one drug in the United States is caffeine. And now all of a sudden, it's going to get quiet. But I want to address it. Zachary told me today that when I started talking about pop, he'd amen me. So, and I drink soda pop. So I'm just going on record there. I'm not going to be a hypocrite. Now listen. We have as a heritage, okay, has been amongst this body of people to abstain from the drinking of coffee. And you read it, and a lot of times you'll see soda pop mentioned right with it. Okay? Now, the scripture says, all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. Then you get into a place of what's wrong. But I want to caution us about something. When you see people exalting something, I've got to have my cup of coffee, that tells me something's wrong. You can disagree with me, take it home and pray about it. I have to have my cup of coffee. Have you taken time for worship? You said, oh, I'm cranky unless I have my three cups. Three? Do you know what coffee does? And now it's not coffee. I don't even know what the next steps are. There's, like, you don't have to answer me either if you don't want. But there's like these other steps where they add even more caffeine. I will say coffee has, what, three or four times the amount of coffee or caffeine as soda pop does. Where you're talking about degrees, you're talking, because you know, with every standard that we have in our lives, everything is not totally consistent. Because there's a lot of issues. We could say, but we do that, and what about that, and what about this, and there are going to be some inconsistencies in what we do, but that's where on a very personal level, we need to ask God, Lord, what are you pleased with in my life? But if I begin to exalt something and I say, well, I'm not addicted, then my answer is if we're not addicted, stop doing it and see what happens. People that stop drinking coffee have withdrawals many, many times. They say that coffee, and I know you can read all kinds of study, some proponents, some against, some even in the science. Even in the sciences. Because you have to start figuring there's agendas on both sides sometimes. But the fact of the matter is they say, you know what, if you're prone to headaches, if you're prone to the caffeine, it is a stimulant. They said caffeine acts like cocaine does, but to a much lesser degree. It's a stimulant. It changes the mood. So then if I'm drinking something because I'm groggy in the morning, I believe, and I'm going to speak spiritually for a moment, that there is something that God has for us to enable me not to be cranky, and I don't have to have a cup of coffee not to be cranky. It's called grace. And I need to have my cup of grace. Now, I'm not saying if someone has a cup of coffee that they're sinning. That's not what I'm saying. But when we're talking about habits and what is addictions and things that are affecting my mind and things that are affecting my mood, my mental health, I need to be very careful. It's a stimulant. It's a mood booster. And I will say there's a real caution, especially when it's being promoted so much. It is being promoted so much. And I would give a real caution to you children and young people, because you're going to know a lot of people that do it. But I would say you be very careful. Be very careful. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you are bought with? You are of God and of not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Folks, this covers everything. Now, I told you this morning we could put a list of habits up here and the board wouldn't be big enough, and some of them may not be an issue for me and it's an issue for me. You know, you and vice versa. What we want to do is examine our own life. Lord, help me. And maybe it's not sin and maybe it's not wrong, but Lord, what impact does this have on me? Now, you say, well, if you're saying that maybe someone shouldn't do that, what about that bag of chocolate chip cookies? Exactly. Fair's fair. Is that right? Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, we're not going by weight here this afternoon, saints. Steph, I can look at food and gain weight. Now, that's stretching a little bit. But my point is, I'm just trying to illustrate a point. There are issues that some people, I know people, they can eat, they can gorge. And they can just eat anything and a lot of it, and they're not being temperate. I don't care whether they gain weight or not. I mean, it's just like an addiction. A psychological addiction to food. I gotta have my chocolate. I have to have my chips. I've gotta have my Pringles. I've gotta have this or that. Do you know, the point is that, Lord, I want my body and my spirit to be in subjection. Jesus came that we could be in control of our lives. That He would not only be the King over sinful things, but He'd be a King over our appetite. That He'd be King over those things that would try to alter our mood or disposition. Amen? Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So Lord, help me then, and help the things that I pass down to my children. Is this a positive thing? Is this a good thing that I'm teaching them? Well, I can handle it. Nothing's wrong with it. And you can all can go home today and say, well, Brother Michael, you know, he's kind of out there. That's all right. But despise not prophesying. See? Take and consider, because I've got to do this with myself. And I have been. I'm doing some reflecting, saints. All right? I'm not done with, the Lord's not done with this message in my life. He may be done with it in yours, but he's still talking to me. So Lord, help me then. Help me that any habits or anything that I don't want, my body is the temple of God. And so again, I said, we're not doing it by weight, because that's not the issue. The issue is control. The issue is our time management. That's another one. Is it not? There are lawful things. Nothing's wrong with hobbies. Nothing's wrong with fishing. Nothing's wrong with crafts. Nothing's wrong with a healthy, useful use of the internet as a tool. But when it becomes a source of entertainment, folks, we are going to get in trouble somewhere down the line. And so that means that how have I been spending my time? If I'm spending a lot of time here, what is going undone that I ought to be doing? Spending time with the family, children, young people, doing your chores, having time for worship. Well, I don't really have time, but I sure got time to check the news. Nothing's wrong with checking the news, but a habit is something that begins to control us, and it's dictating my time that now it's depriving God of His. So I can't answer these questions for everybody, but all I can say is again, Lord, help me. Help us as we examine our life this afternoon. Your body is God's. Speaking there specific, not only of fornication, that's the context of that scripture in the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Not using harmful substances. You know that all health issues, it deals with. If I know something, and I talk about habits, you know, as I've gotten older, and because of the health issues that I have had, the sicknesses I've had from Africa, there are some things that, and I just shake my head sometimes, like, when will I learn? You know, you go and get a like some of that heavy, what, concrete, whatever it is type stuff, like frozen yogurt, concrete type stuff. I can eat about this much and about 4 spoonfuls will do me. And I will know, I can't handle it. My organs are affected. And I know that if I eat too much more of that, it will actually make me sick. And how many times have I said, oh, I shouldn't do this? It's like, I'm just shaking my head. I am 42, I think. Yeah, I'm 42. How long does it take to know that if you eat too much of something, nothing's wrong with having frozen yogurt? But see, if I know it's going to affect me adversely, then Lord help me. Because then I'm in pain. And now I can't function properly, and maybe I can still go and do, but I'm hurting. Do you see where this is a personal thing now? I'm not preaching against concrete, you know. It's okay. But moderation, temperance, control, and what might be moderation in your life might be a little different than moderation in mine. But I'll go back to caffeine. One of the things about caffeine, if you study it, is one cup of coffee doesn't always stay one cup of coffee. It's why people start saying, I need 3 or I need 5, because it physically begins to affect that what that drug caffeine does in your brain. It actually begins to affect how it responds to that stimulus in that waking up factor, and you have to have more to make it do the same thing many times. Is there anything wrong with that? Lord, help us. My body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. He went on to say in 1 Corinthians 9:25, every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in what? All things. Now, we can all be offended this afternoon because the scripture says temperate in all things. I don't know what all your things are, but again, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Temperance is balance. It's moderation. Be temperate in all things. If you know it's doing damage, then Lord, it's excess. If it's something that's affecting, that's filling a place, and it affects my grumpiness factor, then it's a spiritual issue. It's not an issue whether this person thinks it's fine and that one doesn't, because you can line up on both sides. But if it affects my grumpiness and my moods, then it's a spiritual issue. Is that okay? It's a spiritual issue then, because the Lord wants to fill that place in our life. Habit of eating. You know, gluttony is a sin. You know, used to, when it talks about gluttony at these parties, it wasn't talking about just kind of putting your plate a little bit much. Understand? They would go in there and feast for days and days, just gorging. And then they would go in and lose it. Purge. Thank you. They would purge somewhere and then come back so they could eat more. That's not just a little bit of, oh, I put an extra spoonful on my plate, or I had my plate pot a little bit too much. Gluttony that it was talking about was, it was extreme overeating and then trying to counteract it with something else. Well, Lord wants to deal with all of these issues in our life. There's a place of balance. I mentioned our time, how we spend our time. Lord, help us. You know, I had a good habit. A year ago, year and a half ago, I had a really good habit I developed. I started walking. Because of my physical conditions, I can't jog. If I try, it'll mess me up. Can't do something. But I can walk. And at least now I can, thank the Lord. But I got in the habit of walking. So even if I have things to do, I would take time and I'd go walking. And I got up, the highest I got up to was 10 miles one night, and that was too extreme. That's when if someone did that all the time, he's like, okay, moderation, 10 miles a day, too much. I'll say that. Some people get addicted to too much of a good thing, and that becomes their life begins to revolve around it. But I had a good habit, you know, I've gotten out of it. But do you know, taking the time for good things actually makes you feel better? Taking time for good things, healthy things, makes you feel better, you think clear, and you can be more productive in the things that you have to do. I don't have time to pray. No, I don't have time not to pray. I don't have time to exercise. No, I don't not have time to exercise. You understand what I'm saying? So Lord, help me. Lord, help us just to let you work in our life, examine our lives. What are our habits? Are there things we could change and work? And our habits, and I'll be done here shortly, our habits are influence others around us. Our family habits, I mentioned family worship, Lord help us. The friends you hang around, the things they do, the things they talk about, the conduct of their life, it will have an influence on all of us. Because we pick up their habits. And they become our habits. And then our habits become someone else's habits. The Lord has called us to holiness. He's called us to purity. So again, the best way to fight a bad habit is to replace it with a good one. Replace it with a good one. Now instead of this, I'm going to fill it with that. Instead of spending time here, I need some more moderation. I think I need to cut down on that, and I'm going to fill it with something else. I'm not just going to leave a hole in my life, but I'm going to fill it with something else positive. So in closing, 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Covers every area of our life. Do all to the glory of God. Folks, it's a universal application. Whatever we do, the scripture does not spell everything out. It doesn't spell everything out, but it gives us the principle. Don't let something alter your mind. Don't have something that is addictive. I will not be brought under the power of any. If I have to have it, other than God made us to need food, right? He created us with that need and that desire. But if there's something outside that affects me that I have to have or else, that is what an addiction is. It's a habit. And I know sometimes we can get those. So Lord, help me that I would glorify you in my body and my spirit. So whatever you eat or drink, what you listen to, what you look at, where you go, the people you're around, I would just say, as the scripture says, do it to the glory of God. God is holy, He's pure, and He's undefiled. Appreciate your attention today.